You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
I'm Andy Borowitz, sitting in today for Leonard Lopate, and this is WNYC and WNYC.org. Today, the American kitchen is hardly the domain of the apron-wearing, wooden-spoon-toting wife we see when we turn on Mad Men. Preparing a family meal in 2011 can be, well, it can be outright manly. In Man with a Pan, edited by my friend New Yorker editor and cartoonist John Donahue, husbands and fathers share culinary wisdom in essay form. The book features writing by a cast of authors and journalists that includes such names as Stephen King, Jim Harrison, and Jack Hitt. Man with a Pan is published by Algonquin Books, and we're so glad to have John Donahue here with us today. John, thanks for coming in.
Andy, thanks for having me.
You are a man with a pan, aren't you?
I am.
You cook for your family. Now, do you have a wife and two kids?
That's correct.
Do you do all the cooking, 80% of the cooking? How much? Let's just have full disclosure here.
Well, I do most of the cooking, we should say, but I do all of the thinking about cooking, all of the obsessing about cooking.
So that counts. That counts as work
as
well.
In my mind, absolutely.
In your mind, that's the important place. How did this start? And first of all, I mean, I don't want to make it sound like it's freakish for a man to cook. I mean, there are a lot of guys out there who cook, but it's unusual, I guess, you know, on average that, you know, in a family that the guy is doing the lion's share or all of it. How did this first happen for you?
Well, when I first became a father about 6 years ago, I reacted to the kind of joys and panics of being a new father by running into the kitchen to...
to escape,
you know, to deal with all the anxieties of all the new responsibilities that I had. And I found, you know, it very easy to make a beef tagine or a rabbit stew or something that would just make everybody happy and we could have a good time eating it.
And what was your, did you have a cookbook that you went to first? I mean, well, had you ever cooked before? Had you ever?
Yeah, I've cooked all my life because mm-hmm. I'm sort of tall and skinny and I'm always hungry and have eaten all my life. You're not, everyone's eaten all their lives, but eaten a lot. And
so you have a high metabolism. You just burn off calories.
Very, very high metabolism.
You've just alienated a lot of our audience.
I alienate myself too. So, I've cooked all my life. And so I cooked for my wife and my wife cooked and we just, I don't know what we did before we had children. It somehow became very consequential and important after we had kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started cooking. The real, you know, interesting part of that process was when I went back to work after we had our first child. I was at home for the first couple of weeks, but then when I went back to work, everything sort of broke down and I ended up hungry all the time. And when we had a kind of crisis and then I ended up taking over the cooking.
Mm-hmm. So you would come home at the end of the day after working, doing your thing, and would you go grocery shopping every day? Did that become part of your routine, or would you do one big grocery shop in the week? Or?
Well, it's been an evolution. I've been doing it for about 6 years now, and doing the book, talking to all the other men about the cooking they do, has been an education for me. So now I shop just about once a week. We end up shopping about twice a week to get things into the cupboard. It's important to have food in the kitchen to cook if you want to cook it. And I tend to think ahead and like to work ahead, so I'll have things in the freezer that I can defrost on a weeknight, and I'll think about those things. And that's the kind of mundane reality of cooking for a family. You just always have to be planning ahead, especially if you're working and your spouse is working.
Right. Now, I just, you know, based on my experience of men who cook, there are these men who cook kind of every now and again when they have guests over, and then it's like a big show. It's like Las Vegas, and they show off all of their knives, and they're sort of just, you know, they have a toque maybe that they wear and all of that. But the guys that you're interviewing in this book, they're not that kind of chef, right? Are they more sort of quotidian, sort of mundane chefs?
Right. Or? I was looking for everyday heroes. I was
mm-hmm.
I
want the silent heroes.
Right. The silent majority of cooks in the kitchen, the male cook. I wanted to avoid those sort of stunt and celebratory cooks because mm-hmm. I've eaten lots of great meals at, you know, fancy dinner parties that have been cooked by the guy. But I'm more interested, from my perspective and where I was coming from as a new parent, I was more interested in how dads are doing it every day.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking to John Donahue. Here is the author of a new book, Man with a Pan, all about men, fathers who cook. I'm Andy Borowitz, sitting in for Leonard Lopate here at WNYC, WNYC.org. So you're cooking, you're doing this for your kids every day and your wife. What are the sort of joys of doing this, because it's not all about just, I mean, you're a hungry guy. We've established that you constantly have to eat, and you needed to do this because your, you know, the organization of your household was coming undone. But you must get into this. You must like doing it. What are the pleasures of the kitchen for you if you're doing this every night?
Oh, the pleasures are many and vast. It's it's hard to know where to start. So I enjoy everything from just chopping onions. It's very kind of repetitive and distracting and getting. One of the things that appeals to cooking, I think, for men is that it's a chance to work with your hands. The fireman, mm-hmm. Josh Lomask, in his little interview, he talks about how it's akin to building a house. Mm-hmm. You get to work with your hands, but when you make a meal, it's ready to eat in an hour. And whereas if you're building a house, it takes months. So there's an immediate gratification to doing it, more or less immediate. And then I enjoy everybody, the taste of things. I enjoy bringing new things together, making things that please my wife, please my kids, and feeding everybody. I have the kind of high metabolism blood sugar problem, and I'm not unique in my family for that. So when people are hungry, they tend to be cranky, and when they get well fed, they tend to be happier.
That's right. I mean, my wife and I, whose birthday it is today, we've already celebrated that on air once, but it's a new hour, so I'm allowed to do it again. We have a 16-month old at home, and she. You know, sometimes when she's in a bad mood, it comes down to just she's hungry. I mean, it's just as simple as that. And, you know, there are all these books that will tell you about all the things you're doing as a parent and all this. But a lot of times it just comes down to feeding the pie hole.
Yes,
that
absolutely.
Really, really solves the problem.
You know, food is often considered a metaphor for love. That's kind of a cliche. But for me, it was difficult to move from the sort of physiological to the emotional. And whenever one of my children were or happened to be crying, I would think, oh, they must be hungry. They can't possibly be unhappy. They're just hungry.
Well, it's more times than not, that is the problem. I mean, we should at least start there and eliminate, scratch that off the list, and then maybe get down to the emotional root causes later.
I agree with you. It's hard to find out what's going on if you're hungry.
You're a writer and an editor and you've got a blog and a cartoonist. So you tell me a little bit about your blog, because that's become kind of a big thing for you in this whole program of yours.
My blog is called stayatstovedad.com, and I write about the cooking I do for my own family, and I interview other fathers who cook for their families there. I have a lot of fun with it. It's a place of, you know, just to play around and have a good time writing and talking about food in a way that I don't get to do in my professional life otherwise.
So how did this book come about? You'd been cooking for a while, and were you talking to other guys who were the primary cooks in their house and thought there was an idea for a book here? Or?
Well, that's exactly what happened. Because I work in publishing, a lot of my friends happen to be writers, and I noticed that the new dads were also cooking for their families. And I thought, I was interested in how they do it and, you know, how do they manage? And then I realized, oh, they're writers. They could tell their story to everybody, and I could bring them all together. And, you know, being the man in the kitchen is such a vast kind of crazy experience. It's different for everybody. So I wanted to get all these different voices into the book to show the different facets of doing it.
What were some of the most surprising discoveries you made with some of these writers? I mean, you have, for example, Stephen King, who, you know, I had a hard time picturing, you know, in the kitchen, although, you know, who knows? I mean, I guess we never know what happens inside somebody's kitchen.
No, and actually his story is very poignant, and I think it has a great universal appeal because he's a reluctant cook. He mm-hmm. became the family cook because his wife lost her sense of taste. They were living near a toxic well. And
that sounds like a Stephen King story,
right,
actually. Things keep on happening to Stephen King that sound like Stephen King stories, which is
yes.
very suspicious.
And so he took over the cooking and didn't really want to, and he has great advice for using the microwave, I think, and he's probably one of the only authors in the book who makes great use of the microwave, and he talks about keeping things simple and suggests not setting the kitchen on fire and keeps it very basic.
Mm-hmm. And what were some of the other sort of surprising contributions, the things that stick out for you?
Well, the most surprising one had to be Muhammad Ali's, who is from Ghana and talks about how he's Muslim and his father had many wives and his grandfather had many wives and how they didn't always get along and how those wives used voodoo to try to control the man. And as a result, his father and grandfather were unique among his society, his group there. And they were men who cooked, really, where around, you know, in his, he didn't know, no one in that community cooks, no men cook for their families, but his father and grandfather did, and that was very surprising.
Now, in my family, the cooking chores are very well apportioned. My wife and I do it about 50-50, and then I think, well, maybe 33-33, and then Eli Zabar does the other 33. It's something like that. But, you know, we have a very different approach, which is that she's great at following recipes. I mean, she can get a cookbook and make a fantastic meal and follow everything to the letter. Sometimes she'll change things a little bit. I actually cannot do anything related to a recipe. I can't actually follow instructions of any kind in my life. And if it says something like, if a recipe says, then set aside, I'm immediately disqualified. I can't operate on that many different planes. What do you find from, is that a male trait? Like, we don't like to ask, I know it's a cliche, but we don't like to ask for directions. And
I think it can be something of a male trait. I roasted a pig 2 weekends ago to raise money for the Green Market's new farmers development program, and we did it at the Smorgasburg. And I did it with two of the guys from the book, Manny Howard and Josh Lomask. And we used a thing called a La Caja China, which I'd never used before. It's a Chinese box for roasting a pig. I'd never roasted a pig before. I didn't really know what I was doing at all. And
you say roasting a pig, you're talking about a whole pig. Putting a whole pig in a box.
Right. And I had the instructions from the manufacturer there printed out, and I wanted to follow them to the letter, and both Josh and Manny were kind of like, oh, we don't need those. We'll just do it this way. And
now, wait a minute. There are things, there's a pig, there's fire involved. I think you have to read the instructions.
But Josh is a fireman. Manny actually has roasted pigs before, so he has happened to have, you know, hurt his back, and so I was doing more work and had more responsibility than I had expected at that moment. Manny talks about roasting a pig for his now wife in his essay in the book. It's a kind of funny learning story. He goes out to the Hamptons and wants to roast a pig to impress everybody, and then ends up with something that looks like a East River floater, he calls it. It's rather unattractive and unappetizing, but he rallies and succeeds and pulls it all together.
Well, what kind of response are you getting to the book? Are men sort of coming out of the woodwork and sort of standing up and saying, I too am a man with a pan? Are you finding that there are a lot of people in this book?
I think the response has been great. People have liked what's in there, liked what they've seen, and I'm hoping it does inspire a lot of other men to start cooking for their families.
Well, I've been speaking with John Donahue. His book is Man with a Pan, Culinary Adventures of Fathers Who Cook for Their Families. It's published by Algonquin Books. And John, keep cooking. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.